Hello, my friend, and welcome to this episode of A Call to Leadership. I'm Dr. Nate Sollett, your host. I'm so glad you're here. On this episode of the show, we're going to talk about an area of leadership that's so important is leading your finances. Every so often, we dive into the topic of wealth leadership, building a stable financial future. And finances are so important to your leadership journey. Money is not evil. Money is not the root of evil. In fact, the old saying, which comes from the scriptures, is not that money is the root of all evil. Many people confuse that. It says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. In other words, don't make money your God. Don't make it what you worship. Don't spend your time focused only on money, because the problem is then it can be a disease. In fact, I used to watch a show years ago called American Greed. You might have heard of it or seen it. People are so greedy. It's almost like they are insatiably driven to diseased ravaging of money, to where they do heinous things and steal. They spend time just deceiving people, and it's really, really sad. That's not what we're talking about. We are talking about building a solid financial future. Money, especially in business and in life, it's the blood flow of organizations. It's how we purchase what we need. It's how we move our economic engine forward, how we stabilize our lives from a needs basis of not only our material needs, but also access to education and medical. Money is not bad, not in and of itself. It can be used for things that are not good, if we would say ineffective for leading well and serving, but can also be used to do wonderful things to help people along their journey. And so as we embark on this conversation around wealth leadership, let's have an open mind to the possibilities of where we may be missing wealth in our own lives and the generation of wealth in our future. And for me, it's a really sensitive topic because I grew up without wealth. If you've listened to the show, you know that I grew up poor. And if you were to finish this sentence, let's see how you'd finish it. When I was growing up, money was, well, how would you finish that sentence? For me, money was non-existent. It did not exist. We had to scrounge and scrape. My single mom at the time, before she remarried, she was just a hustler trying to make it every single day. And God bless her for her plight, for her struggle, for her desire to help. The only challenge that I think that she didn't quite understand, tenacity was there, a drive was there, humility was there, but education wasn't there. One area of leadership in terms of leading our finances that I find not only in my own life as I was growing up, but in the lives of those around me, because I work in the money world. Of course, if you've listened to the show, I own an accounting and advisory firm. We spend a lot of time. People's money is a very big part of our business, and there's a lack of education. In fact, it's been said that the educated mind cannot be enslaved. You see, I was a slave to my lack of understanding of money when I was growing up. In fact, when I was a young man, I wanted to be a millionaire. I thought, okay, what do I need to do? I need to drop out of college, because many other successful millionaires did that. Think of Bill Gates and Steve Jobs and Michael Dell, all of them back when I was younger, they were peers and icons in the entrepreneurial space. And I thought, wow, well, then I just need to drop out of college and I can be a millionaire just by grit. Well, 3 years in, I was over $100,000 in debt. And it wasn't debt to help me grow my business. There's different kinds of debt. It was the kind of debt that was just frivolous spending. In fact, I didn't know what I was doing when I started my business when I was 21 years old. I knew the technical aspect of my trade, but I did not understand the aspect of my trade that had to do with the management of the money in the business. And so that was an issue for me. And what happened? Well, I started partying, taking the friends out. I was the man, right? Nate was picking up the tab and vacations. And guess what else I did? I had to look the part too. So I had to buy fancy cars, and I bought a BMW and a Corvette and a motorcycle and all of that. And at the same time, I was not reinvesting in my business, and my business income was not sufficient to meet my lifestyle. So then what happened? I started borrowing more and more money. Even when I was 18 years old, I started getting credit cards. You ever get these credit and charge cards in the mail. So I got the Macy's card, I got the Dillard's card, the Sears card, all of the department stores. And guess what I started doing? Shopping sprees. Hello. Let's go buy ourselves some really cool clothes. Back then we didn't have Prada, but today you would think Prada. Maybe there was Prada. I didn't know about it. And then of course, what was next? Hey buddy, go ahead and take my girlfriend out and get her anything she wants. Put it on my charge card. Then what happens? The bill comes. Can't afford it. Guess what? Well, now I have an interest rate that is far greater than I can ever hope to repay, 25, 26, 27% annually, if not more. So then the interest begins to accrue, compounding, and I look at all my debt and I'm just beside myself. How did I get here? Well, I know how I got here. It was through a lack of financial education. Boy, I spent so much time thinking I knew what I was doing and I had no idea. In fact, this is so critical for so many of us. We have an insufficient knowledge about personal finances, wealth building strategies, and things that help prevent us from making informed decisions and taking advantage of opportunities. So at the end of the day, if we don't have a strong financial foundation, it's going to be really challenging to accumulate any kind of wealth effectively. And that's really where I found myself. In fact, here's some stats for you. The poor. That's where I was. I was poor. I was beyond poor. I was trying to be a millionaire and now I was $100,000 in debt. So now I needed $1.1 million. I wanted to be a millionaire by the time I was 30. And I had no real plan. I had no real understanding. I had no strategy. I had no ability to do that because I was just flying blind. And here's the thing about it. My investments were based on a true statistic. The poor invest in today. 75% food, transportation, rent, utilities, phones, 1.4% on education, 2.6% on saving for retirement. The middle class, less on housing, food, and leisure, which is 62% of their income, 1.5% on education, not really much difference, but 9.6% on saving for retirement. So more savings. Listen to this. The wealthy invest in the long run, 4.4% on education. I mean, that's three times as much on education, 15.9% on savings. So this is an idea that you say, well, Nate, don't they have more? Yes, we're going to talk more about that a little later. How do you get more? But the first step, the very first step, the very foundation of our moving into being leaders of our money, right? To leading our money rather than it leading us is to commit to improving our financial literacy. That's step one. Think about your level of health when it comes to your physical well-being. Think about the physical well-being. Do you exercise? Do you eat the right foods? Do you have low stress, right? Those are all aspects of your physical well-being. And those actions are taken, if not daily, every few days. I mean, I don't know very many people that don't eat every day, but most people eat not only one time a day, but two and three and sometimes four and five and six and seven because they're nourishing their physical bodies. How often am I nourishing my mind with financial literacy? I would submit to you daily. Nourishment. It is the foundation, the bedrock to making things happen when it comes to meeting your needs, having access to cash flow, having access to resources that will fund your life. Now, you might say, Nate, I am not the kind of person who worries about money. I don't think about money. I just let the Lord guide me and lead me. And wherever I go, He's going to provide. You know what? I'm a man of faith, but I think that's a cop out. I think that it's a partnership. I think you've got to do your part. I've got to do my part. I've got to be smart and intelligent and learn and not just say, God, just take care of it for me. No, be an active participant in the role you have to manage what you have. Jesus's parable of the talents, the three people who the wise, the ruler, the landowner gave each of his servants an amount of money. One, two, five, I think. What did the one do? He buried it. He just said, you know what? I'm just going to let God handle it. My master handle it. I'm not going to worry about it. The other two actually went out and did what? They invested it. They multiplied and increased it. They actually went out and did the work, the heavy lifting, so that when their boss came back, the one who said, I just buried it because God was just going to take care of it. He said, you wicked and lazy servant. and cast them out. The other two, good and faithful servants. We have to be in the game, working and investing and multiplying and increasing what we're entrusted with. And we can't effectively do that unless we're committed to improving our financial literacy. Read the books, attend the seminars, take the online courses on personal finance and investing. Start today, every day. Nourish the body, nourish the financial body. So again, your money is not leading you. You are leading your money. But not only that, that's great and you must do that. Seek advice. Find professionals who you can find around you, certified financial planners, tax accountants, strategists, leaders who can provide you guidance tailored to what? Your specific situation goals, mentors, people who have achieved what you desire to achieve. There's no shortage of that advice. There's no shortage of people who are in the mix who you can learn from. You say, Nate, I can't afford that. We're going to talk more about that. We're going to talk more about how we position ourselves because it's an investment. We have a tax program, which is our Advanced Tax Strategies program. And that program is for individual businesses who want to reduce their tax burden, eliminate their tax burden. Guess what? They have to pay to play. It's an investment. Once you invest, then you see a return on your investment. What am I investing in? Because every day we are putting our money in places. Maybe society is saying, boy, you really need that big screen TV. At the recording of this episode, it's Black Friday today. What is Black Friday? It's a day where people go out and shop. And I used to do Black Friday many years ago because I thought I needed a bigger TV, or I needed a higher definition television, or the new LED, or whatever it is, or new computer monitors, or a lot of tech stuff. I would go out on Black Friday and I'd get up super early so that I can get that next deal. And it dawned on me one day that, you know what? The stuff I have, it works. It's cool. It does what it needs to do instead of going out and spending $1,000 on another piece of equipment. Now, if I need it, it's one thing. But if what I have is effective, if it satisfies the role and it completes the objective with excellence, I don't need a new TV. I don't need a new oven. I don't need a new fill in the blank, whatever it is, just because it's cheaper, it's on sale. Look, we got to put a stop to the mindless advertising spending when people and companies are saying, you just have to have this. Honestly, my phone, it's a Samsung. It's probably like 2 years old. It works great. I don't need the latest phone. Every time a new phone comes out, do you just buy the next one and then you get rid of your current one? Do you need the next one? You say, Nate, maybe I do, maybe I don't. But if you don't, take that $800 and perhaps reinvest it. We'll talk about that later. This is the point. The point is we're always spending money. I would rather take that $800 and I would seek advice from a professional who would help me to multiply and increase what I'm entrusted with. So then as I make more money, I earn more, my money starts to make money for me. Guess what? That begins to increase and multiply. And then if I want that television later, guess what? I'm not using my cash assets that I've been earning. I'm using the earnings that have been earned from my cash assets. So important. In fact, I had asked a question of my son and my two nieces who were staying with us some time ago. We were at the dinner table and I asked the kids, what if you won $1 million today? If you won $1 million today, what would you do with it? I'm asking you that question too. Just think of it for just a moment. $1 million is in your bank account today, tax-free. What would you do? Here's what the kids said. One of my nieces said, Uncle Nate, I would go out on a shopping spree. I would get the nails done. I would get the facial. I would get the bag, the Gucci. I would get all of the coolest stuff. I would just splurge. How much would you spend? I don't care. What if you spent all of it and you just got a whole lot of stuff? That sounds good to me. I'm good with that. I would have $1 million worth of all the stuff. I would have $1,000 bag. I would have a diamond studded phone case that was maybe $50,000. I would take vacations that were lavish. I would just spend it all and enjoy. Okay. My second niece, a little more thoughtful of others, not necessarily that it's the best financial decision, said, you know what I would do, Uncle Nate? I would go out and I would buy my family members all houses and cars. I would buy one for myself first. Okay. And then I would buy all my family members all kinds of things that they needed. Okay, well, what would you buy? I'd buy, since I had $1 million, I would buy my parents' cars and houses, and then I'd buy myself a bunch of stuff. And I'd spend it all. I would have given them what they needed. That's very thoughtful of you. And then I got to my son, who said, Dad, I wouldn't do that. What I would do is I would take the $1 million, all 1 million, and I wouldn't spend a dime. Oh, okay. What would you do? I would invest every single penny. And then from the earnings I had, I would allow those earnings to fund the life I wanted to live. And I think he was, let's see here, this was about 3 years ago. So that would have made him 13. Of course, he's my son. And he hears me talk about these things. And this is the mind of the individual who wants to invest. In fact, there was a story years ago, a study about children who had the opportunity to eat one piece of candy today or two pieces if they waited tomorrow. And it was a longitudinal study, which means longitudinal means over a long period of time, and trace their lives and walk with their lives and see how the manifestation of impulsiveness has to do with their lives in the future. And as you would guess, having impulsiveness today, taking that one piece of candy, those children had more impulsive lives in the future. And those who waited and got the two pieces tomorrow were ones who were able to have more stable lives and were able to stay in relationships longer, stay in employment longer, keep money longer. I'm going to tell you more about that story later. The point is that once I begin to become educated financially, once I begin to seek guidance and take my time and think about the decisions I'm going to make financially, I will then be laying a foundation that is strong for my financial future. And so when I'm thinking about this step, this important step, I must regularly consume financial content. Not only from anywhere, from credible sources, by the way, on the internet all the time. I see the YouTube videos that are erroneous, and sometimes some people just don't know what they're talking about and they are giving bad advice. In fact, not only they're giving advice that is not helpful, but sometimes it's even fraudulent. I get messages from friends and family all the time from a Instagram or a TikTok video and say, hey, here's some tax scheme. I'm like, well, okay, you want to bury a family member on your property so that you can write off your entire house, you can write off all of your taxes and so on and so forth. And it's silly. Oftentimes there's a little truth to these tax schemes or these money wealth building schemes, but it's not the whole picture. In fact, this one is state by state. I can tell you super quickly, but there is a provision for having a cemetery, if you will, on your property. But there's, again, every state differs. At least in some states, you have to section off a parcel. It can't be over an acre. There's a lot of rules and regulations to it. Is there a benefit to it? Generally, it might cost you more to do all that than it does to have the actual benefit. So you have to have credible sources, sources that will identify the code and the sources that they pulled from, right? But there are many credible sources. There are podcast sources that are credible, blogs, reputable websites. Stay up to date. Once you've done your homework, stay up to date on effective wealth building strategies. Once you do that, once you begin to do that, you're going to have a better understanding of how to manage your wealth. And then once you become educated, you'll understand what the formula is. I have a felt wealth formula. There are formulas for wealth building all around. I'm going to tell you my formula, at least one of them. For building wealth, I'm going to tell you it's a three-step formula. One, you have to have knowledge. And this is in the marketplace. Build your knowledge in an area that's important, that's needed, that has utility, has value, that's relevant. And then practice. This is step one. Knowledge plus practice. You know what it equals? It equals skill. There is no substitute for practice, friend. It's not going away. Practice, practice, practice. The more you practice, the more proficient you become. Practice equals proficiency. Have a knowledge base. Learn something that's important in the marketplace. And then practice it. I have practiced my trade so incredibly much. I practice speaking. I practice educating. I've prepared probably over 10,000, maybe 20,000 tax returns over the years. When I was doing a lot of tax work, I became very skilled at that very needed area of commerce. Knowledge plus practice equals skill. Step one. Step two, skill plus marketplace equals money. Your skill is then put into the marketplace. When your skill is in the marketplace, you can earn money from that. The greater value of your skill in the marketplace, the more money that you will earn. If your skill is in janitorial work, it has a certain level of marketplace value. It doesn't mean that it's unworthy, by the way. It doesn't mean that it's not important. If anyone tells you that your job is not important, it's not true. Trash collection is important, right? These people, the people who do this kind of work, are just as important. I find such great value. I'm not going to look at a lawyer or a doctor or a politician and say, boy, you are so much more valuable as far as an individual. We have to make that distinction. All humanity is valuable, whether you're destitute or whether you never have to work another day in your life. However, the marketplace bears a certain level of compensation based on a certain kind of skill. All right, we have to make the distinction. So understanding what skills have different marketplace needs. By the way, it's important to not develop skills necessarily just because the marketplace gives it a high level of worth. And what do I say that for? Because if you're doing something that you hate doing just because it will make you lots of money, you will be miserable. You say, Nate, well, what if I just want to be miserable for a short period of time? It's a slippery slope, friend. I've done things that I thought, boy, I just need to do this because I can make some money and my life could be a wreck. Wouldn't it be better to have a skill that is both important in the marketplace and that you are passionate about, something that you truly enjoy doing? Don't just settle for miserable plus money. Find skills that have marketplace value that you truly find fulfillment and enjoyment and mastery and purpose out of. Don't settle. So that's number two, skills plus marketplace equals money. Number three, money plus investment equals wealth. When you take your money and you reinvest it in worthy investments, by the way, again, in the tax business, I've seen people invest in many, many areas that did not produce wealth because they were poor investments. Because why? Because they were financially uneducated. They made decisions that were not driven to help them be wealthy. That's not always the case. Sometimes I've invested and I've had all of the data I had at the time, but something changed and my investment tanked. We know this through the stock market. We know this through Enron and WorldCom and Tyco. These are companies that had massive fraud, and not all of them, but they lost all the wealth. That happens. However, if you invest wisely, your money will have an effect that will increase your total wealth. This is the foundation for you in terms of your desire and your needs to grow as a leader in leading your finances. Remember, step one is going to be becoming financially literate. The educated mind cannot be enslaved. Be educated, grow, and the next time we meet, we're going to take this to the next level and talk about how we can continue to lead our finances instead of our finances leading us. Well, my friend, I am so thrilled that you joined me on this episode of A Call to Leadership. And before you go to the next episode, especially if you're binge listening, take a moment. I would love to get your honest review right here on your screen. Your feedback is so important. It helps the podcast. It encourages me and it helps me. It helps me to give you more and more and more value. So I can't wait to read your review. I can't wait to be with you on the next episode. I'm Dr. Nate Salla. This is A Call to Leadership.